Thanks, Carol. You might like to keep that part of God's Word open as we spend some time working through it. We're at the end of our John series. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Today we're finishing up in 3 John, the final kind of verses there. So I'm looking forward to that. It's great to be here this morning. I pray you are feeling awake out there this morning. Had your breakfast? Ready to engage?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, fantastic. So I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little bit tired in the mornings, a little bit sleepy. And I've noticed this happening as the World Cup's been going on. Anyone else watching the World Cup? Some faithful football followers have been watching the World Cup. I'm not super into soccer, but it's been great to kind of stay up and watch these games. They go pretty late as well, though. And some of them are on really early in the morning. Well, Australia's out, in case you didn't already know. They got knocked out before the round of 16. You know when your team's kind of out and you've got to choose someone else? I've jumped on the Belgium bandwagon. Yeah, there you go. I don't know. That's my pick moving forward. You heard it here. That could be completely wrong. But the games are so tight and exciting and tense. You can see the atmosphere, the noise in the crowd. It's amazing. There's the supporters who are cheering loudly for their team. And then there's the opposition who are cheering loudly against them. And the clash of the teams as they kick the ball, they engage on the field, there's action, there's excitement. You've got supporters and you have those in opposition. Two camps, two sides. Like the World Cup, there are supporters and opponents, the opposition to the mission of God. And that's what we're looking at today in the end of 3 John. I'm going to pray and ask God that he would speak to us today. And would you join me in that? Father God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. Lord, we've asked already that you would help us engage with it. From wherever we've come from this morning, the busyness of life, maybe the tiredness that we're experiencing now, we ask, Lord, that you would settle us, that you would help us hear from you in your word. And we pray it because we long, Lord, to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are in, as I've been saying, we're in the second part of John's third letter. We've been in this series for a little while now, and really it's been challenging. It's been challenging. You can see there on the screen, the kind of catchphrase, the theme of the whole series has been the real deal. Looking at the real deal of Jesus, that he really did come to this planet 2,000 years ago. Steve's been sharing there about where Jesus was, you know, in Jerusalem. He walked around. He really did come in the flesh. That's been one of the themes that John's wanted to hammer out to these Christians. He really did come in the flesh. And he really is the Messiah, the saving one. That is true. Because there were some false teachers who'd come into the church and they were teaching the wrong thing. They were trying to lead people astray, away from this reality. And not only this reality about the real Jesus, but the reality that as believers, those who trust in Jesus, we are called to live real, authentic faith. To love one another. Because we love and have experienced God's love towards us, then we will demonstrate that love to others. And that will involve a transformed life. So that's where we are. And we come to our final message from John here this morning. And the first thing he starts talking about in verse 5 is supporting Christian workers. He praises those who support the mission of Jesus. Have a look at verse 5. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. Remember here, he's talking to Gaius. That's who this letter's written to. This believer who is going well in the Lord. And he prays for him in those first couple of verses that it might continue to go well in health for him, but also that he's heard about his faith, his spiritual maturity. These brothers were strangers to Gaius. He didn't know them, but he supported them. These traveling preachers, that's who they were, on mission for God, bringing that truth about Jesus to those around them. They were sent out and had gone out for the sake of Jesus Christ. This is really in contrast to the false teachers who had also gone out but were preaching a different message, that Jesus actually hadn't come in the flesh. And so John here is saying, no, these are the guys who actually believe the truth and who you need to support. These missionaries were relying on the Christian community to support. As they traveled from town to town, they needed accommodation, they needed recommendation, and so Gaius has been giving them that. He sent them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, and John praises him and said, that is fantastic. Now, one of the things that I find really interesting here is, I know sometimes us as people, but even us as Christians, can get into the habit of comparing ourselves to other Christians. We're in a comparison-based world. I took the opportunity to do some market research last Monday night. Anyone ever done any market research? I actually used to work for a market research company. Anyway, I went and did some market research. This was one of those ones, not where you fill out the kind of, when they ask you questions and you fill it out online or a paper-based thing, but you actually go and you sit in a group of people and you discuss what you think about a certain product or experience. And this was a particular experience. I signed the confidentiality clause, so I can't tell you about it, but it's a particular experience. And the first part of the kind of discussion was all about just general stuff to do with our leisure time, what we like to do in our leisure time. Then at the halfway point, they reveal the client that they're working for. And it all starts to make sense now. And suddenly, you enter into this comparison game. Right, I want you to compare your experience here with here. What was good about that experience? What was bad about that experience? It's a comparison game. And too often, we bring that thinking into our Christian community with one another. You look across from you here today at church and you say, wow, so-and-so has got it together and I feel like I don't. And we base this on the external stuff, of course, because that's the stuff that counts, right? No, it's not. We see the other person who seems to have it together, or a missionary visits us up the front here and we think, wow, they are super spiritual people, more than us. They're highly gifted in serving the areas I feel inadequate in. They're good up the front things. But in fact, we may be misreading the situation. We actually may not be seeing the whole picture. And we may fall into the trap of comparing ourselves. I heard a story recently about a preacher. He's a good preacher. He was in this church for a long period of time, and he had one particular lady in his church who he said, every time I got up to preach, she just had a frown on her face. I thought, what am I doing wrong? Just every time I'm up the front, she seems to be frowning at me. There wouldn't be anyone here, would it? No, of course not. You guys are great. Great feedback. Thank you. Anyway, he got to the time when he was leaving the church, and the lady was there at the door to greet him as his final sermon had finished. And she said to him, as he's leaving for the final time, I was hanging off every word you were saying. Had he misread the situation? Yeah, he'd misread the situation. She was actually really engaged, even though her face probably didn't show that. She was really engaged. So often we can misread the situation about what's happening for our brothers and sisters, even here today as we're amongst each other. And too often we can think we need to compare ourselves to each other. And we come up feeling discouraged, and somehow that we're lacking. This whole comparison thing can be a disaster. But if you see in verse 8, and I think this is the key verse that we're going to look at today, verse 8, we see that Christians are supporting each other, not comparing or competing against each other. Verse 8, have a look at it there. John says, we ought to support people like these. He's talking about the missionaries who've gone out, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. That's pretty profound, isn't it? That we might be fellow workers for the truth. Supporting these people, and by supporting them, we are both working together for the same thing as fellow workers. They have gone out and are working for the name. That name is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and his fame, commending Jesus to the world. That's what mission is. That's what mission is. It's making disciples, going out into the world as workers for the truth. The truth who is the Lord Jesus and the truth of his gospel, his good news for those who don't yet know him. That's why when we talk about our mission partners here in church, we call it a partnership. Philippians chapter 1 speaks in those words. We are both fellow workers for Jesus, for his gospel. You and I, as we pray, as we contribute financially, we may be able to offer practical assistance or offer hospitality, as this was the case here in 3 John. There are a number of ways, there are all sorts of ways that we can be involved as fellow workers of the truth, of promoting the name of Jesus. I can't step into your life for a day, you can't step into my life for a day, but we can support the work of God's kingdom, his mission. Now this was particularly in 3 John, it's to do with these traveling missionaries who are going out, and yes, we can do that, can't we? Through our mission partnership here at church, and maybe externally as well. You might support some other mission partners around the place, people you've had contact with. Fantastic. But it's also a reminder that we can support one another here in 2508, because God doesn't reserve the work of mission solely for those just overseas somewhere, not in amongst us. No, he says, actually, go and make disciples to each of us. Go and make disciples to each of us. And so we need to be supporting one another. We're involved in the same work here. The same work. We're fellow workers for the truth. I think one of the practical applications is to consider how we are being fellow workers for the gospel, for the truth. Yes, it's a direct challenge to consider how we're praying for that work that's happening around the world and amongst us. Now, last week we had those forms we had to fill out to tick if you want to get the prayer points from our CMS missionary partners. Fantastic. But it's a call for each of us to support the mission of Jesus, where God calls us to right here and right now, and to be involved in supporting one another in that. Work together for it. Fellow workers for the truth. John now moves on really to contrast that, to support the work that's going on in God's mission, but look out for self-promotion. A warning against putting ourselves first. Have a look at verse 9. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Now, he is the direct opposite, isn't it? He's not supporting the message of God, the mission of God. He's looking after himself. Diotrephes, this is what he's doing. He's putting himself first. He doesn't acknowledge the leadership of John. He's talking wicked nonsense against them, refusing to welcome the brothers, and he's putting people out of the church. If you don't agree with me, then I'll chuck you out. Self-serving, status-loving, doesn't submit to anyone else, doesn't acknowledge the leadership. Of course he's not going to acknowledge the leadership, is he? He thinks he's the most important. So whatever he says should go. Now John, he had written to the church. We know John's written a number of letters. We've got them here for us in Scripture. This is possibly another letter that we don't have, or maybe to John, it's not clear. But John is being undermined. His message is being undermined by Diotrephes, who had some sort of authority in this church. In other words, this guy's creating a mess, a gigantic church mess. Clearly he's against them and against the message of the truth. And it all stems from putting himself first. Putting himself first. How do you view your self-importance? What credentials do you have? Well-educated, good job, reasonably successful in life, living in a nice house, status loving, are those things of first importance to you? What things have you done? Is that what you value as first importance? Remember what Jesus said? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first. And Diotrephes here is seeking himself first. That runs counter to the message of Jesus, counter to the good news, to the gospel. And it's a challenge to us. In what areas of our lives are we seeking self-importance? Status. And how is that endangering God's mission, His gospel message going out into the world? Here's what will happen. You won't see the message of Jesus as important as it should be. You'll slowly lose your love for Jesus and His people as your importance turns more and more to yourself. That's exactly what we see here. Here's someone who's wreaking a mess in the church. So look out for self-promotion. Look out for putting yourself first. And finally, John wants to remind us to imitate what is good. Imitate what is good. Look at verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. Verse 11 makes sense. It's a contrast. This should be familiar to us as we work through these letters to John. John likes to put up these contrasts. Contrast of imitating evil or imitating good. And if you imitate good, then you know that you're from God. But if you imitate evil, well, he says a hard word, doesn't he? You've not seen God. You've not seen God. So you say, now that you've heard and been commended for supporting the missionary work that Gaius is doing, imitate that. Don't imitate the bad that this Diotrephes is trying to bring in. Don't do that. Imitate the good, not the bad. Imitate that specifically in regard to hospitality. But we can see more broadly that's talking about support for God's mission, can't we? Imitate that. Imitate that. Imitate what is good. And if we look through John's letters, then we find a whole lot of other stuff that's to be avoided, that's evil. Desires of the flesh, desires of the eye, the pride of life. No, we've got to put that stuff from the world off and seek what is good. God's kingdom mission. To love one another. Hasn't that been a theme through it all? To love one another. As believers who've been transformed by God's love, then we're called to love one another. That should be the mark of us as a Christian community. You've seen true love and hospitality. You've seen self-love. Now imitate what is good. I was sitting down this past week. I know, sitting down is not a radical thing to do. Everyone's sitting down here today. But as I was sitting, I don't know whether you've ever noticed this, but as I was sitting next to in this group of people, we kind of were sitting the same way. Have you ever noticed that? Like I had the crossed legs and they had the crossed legs, had the kind of same closed arms. No one's nodding at me. They're like, no, what are you talking about? Anyway, I was noticing that I was like copying the kind of position that other people were in. I was imitating what they were doing. It was almost like this imitation was working off one another. Well, there's other ways we imitate people, don't we? If you're in the grey nomad stage of life, well, what do you need to do? Take your trip around Australia. Take your trip around Australia. That's what you do, isn't it? What about, I don't know whether you've heard of this craze, the flossing craze. If you have kids, you have the flossing craze. You're kind of like it's a bit of a dance. That, yeah. I'm not going to do it for you. It's okay. That's all you're going to get. Anyway, they imitate one another, don't they? Yeah. You want to do the dance. You got kids, you want to do the dance. We copy other people. In our life, there's a whole range of different influences. We've got to make sure that we imitate what's good, not what's evil. That's what we need to be reminded of. Imitating the good, not the evil. And what does that look like? It means serving and loving each other and the Lord Jesus. And in particular, supporting the work of mission. That's both happening in our own lives as we seek to go out, but that's happening further abroad as well. Imitate what is good. On our on the newsletter this week, there's some details about Jim and Tanya who are going out to Spain. I'm not going with them to Spain. They're going out to Spain to be involved in work that's happening over there. The church is struggling in many of these European countries where it once was great. It's struggling as other things, secularism, other things take hold in these cultures. And the church is struggling, and they're going out to teach and train pastors. I'm not going with them. They're going. But I can work together with them. I'm not working with them over there in Spain, but from this passage, I'm actually working with them as I pray for them and as I support them and as we do those things together. That's what the scripture says. We're together fellow workers in the truth. We're at different parts of the world, but we're working together for God's mission, that others might know and come to God's kingdom, to love the Lord Jesus, to share his truth. What ways has God gifted you to support this mission, that the name of Jesus might be known and loved around the world, in your workplace, in your families? Can we do a better job at supporting each other in our mission for God? Asking the question, how are you going being a representative of Jesus in your situation of life? Whether you're a dad, a mum, whether your mission is to bring God's message to your kids, to your parents, to those you work with, to those you love and care for. In a world we're told where people know less and less about Jesus, this is going to be more and more important. And we need encouraging to do that. To speak, to support, to pray, to finance, to offer hospitality and practical help. What ways are you supporting the mission of God? What ways do you think God wants you to support his mission? As we come to the end of these challenging letters, they've been really practical. And what a way to finish on the mission of God and being fellow workers called into his kingdom to take part in his work. And so we're called to support the message and name of the Lord Jesus. And what a great honor and privilege that is, isn't it? That is a great honor and privilege. And so, what ways are we going to support that? For me, for you, for us. Let me pray. Lord, there's a world that doesn't know you or love you. Would you ignite in us a fire to be fellow workers for the truth? Would you help us see ourselves as playing an important role in that? Though we each have different skills and gifts and abilities, you all call us to be fellow workers for the truth, to proclaim the message of Jesus. Father God, we pray that you would be with those who we've sent out, who we partner with. But more than that, Lord, I ask that you would help us support one another as we partner together in the mission of you here. Amen.